Amen. Well, we're going to continue what I've been preaching on for a long time now, and that is the supernatural kingdom of God. God didn't just save us to go to church and sit in nice seats like you're doing tonight. He chose us because his kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. He is able to do absolutely anything. And when we're born again into that kingdom, we become his children. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now available to us. And kingdom life is about showing the world, the power of God and the love of God. Amen? What better way to do that than to share all that God gives us with those who need him? And lots of needy people out there who need a touch from God. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to get into the whole realm of our expectation tonight, that if we are living the kingdom life, not just being a Christian, calling ourselves Christian because we go to church, but if you have been born again of God's Spirit, you are a new creation. All things that have been in the past are dead. New things are possible. Amen. And that new life is a supernatural life. It takes you beyond your comfort zone. It takes you beyond your expectation. And so we're going to look at two or three things if we've got time. We're going to look at the healing ways of God. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit is crucial in all of that. And if we get time, we're going to see how the Word of God undergirds everything for our supernatural life. Amen? So let's start with, I believe, what we will see more and more and more of, because when you read the book of Acts, it's full of healings and miracles. Now, they didn't cease at that time. They're still going on. Amen? And I've seen them. I've been involved in them. And so I know what I'm preaching is true, and I will preach it whether I see it or not, because it's in God's word and it's on God's heart. Amen? And so God not only desires that we know how to receive healing ourselves, but that we learn how to minister healing to others. Amen? Part of that supernatural life is to receive the healing of God when you need it for yourself, by faith, but then take it further than that and know how to pray for those who are sick and to release them into wholeness and health. Amen? And we're beginning to see that happen. Great testimony, just what God is capable of doing. In Psalm 103:7, it says this: He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Israelites saw the power of God in miracles, but to Moses, he took that one further. He showed Moses his ways. He didn't just show what he could do. He showed his very nature. And if we're going to see the supernatural power of God, intimacy with God in relationship is crucial. Healings and miracles are the byproducts or fruits of those who enjoy intimate fellowship with God and are committed to doing His work. If you're close to God, if you know God day by day, miracle things will happen. He will just bring people alongside you who need help. And the power of God will flow through you. Miracles and fruits are not the end goals of our Christian lives. That's not why we're here. But they're a byproduct of our relationship with Him. Intimacy with Him always precedes fruits. To do His works, we must first know His ways. And if you want to move in healing, the first thing you've got to do is know the healer. Amen. If you don't know the healer, there's no way you're going to move in healing, because it comes from Him. It's nothing to do with you. So don't get pig-headed about it. You're like me, nobody's. But we can be empowered by the Spirit of God. So intimacy was Moses' secret. And then Israel witnessed wonderful acts of God because Moses knew God personally. God revealed His identity to Moses, and one of those identities was, "I am the Lord who heals you," Exodus 15:26. And if you begin to know the nature of God, you'll begin to pick up what His heart is for this lost world. And that will become your priority. God reveals His ways to His friends. Exodus 33:11 says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. There are only two friends mentioned in the Old Covenant. That was Abraham and Moses. But wonderfully, that relationship opens up to all of us in the New Covenant. Jesus said, we are friends of God. Amen. And if you're a friend of God, He wants to share things with you. Secret things. Special things. And we need to have that expectancy. We're not living natural lives. We're living in the presence and empowered by a supernatural being who made the universe. Wow. John 15:14 says this. You are my friends. It's what Jesus said. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. See, there's conditions to this intimate relationship. You can only be a friend of God if you do what He tells you. That's reasonable. Amen. If you don't do it, you can't call yourself a friend. And so that's a challenge to us. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus brought His disciples into that same intimate relationship, and what He heard from His Father, He shared with them. And He taught them how to hear God for themselves. And that's our privilege. Amen? Keys obedience. Just be sensitive to what God is saying to you. Now, What gives our Father in heaven glory? What gives him pleasure? John 14:10 says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me then for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do also and greater works because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mark that scripture. Fantastic promises for supernatural life. That's John 14:10-14. He says, because I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit is coming and he's going to fill you with that same power as I had from the Father. Wow. And whatever you ask in my name, I'm able to do. Now, there are conditions. We've got to ask with the right motivation, the right heart attitude. We've got to ask in line with his purpose and will, but he answers prayer. Amen. And so we are quite able to move into this supernatural life because Jesus has gone to the Father. And how do we glorify the Father? We glorify the Father by carrying on the works of supernatural power that Jesus did. And then we glorify God. Every time someone gets saved, it glorifies God. Every time that someone gets healed, it glorifies God. Every time someone gets delivered, it glorifies God. Now, I want to bring glory to my Father. So that's what we should be expecting to happen. So that we can bring glory to his wonderful name. One of the primary ways the Father receives glory is when the church does the works that Jesus did. These works can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they bring glory to the Father. We are anointed for these works. Faith is the condition needed for the promise to become reality. Everything that Jesus did was a perfect reflection of who the Father is. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And as we live our lives, loving people, serving people, using the gifts that he's given us to bring this supernatural life to those who need it, something very special is happening. We become a reflection of Jesus. Just as Jesus was a reflection of the Father, when people see us moving in that supernatural life, they will see Jesus in us. Wow, blows my mind. I don't deserve that, but the promise is there. That's the goal. That's what we're after. Therefore, Jesus did not die that we should just go to heaven. He wants to create a community of believers who can bring heaven down to earth. Yeah? And demonstrate his love and power to a lost world. When Jesus defines eternal life, he does not just refer to a post-death experience where we're to live forever in heaven. It's much more than that. Eternal life begins when we're born again. We're living eternal life now if we're living the supernatural life of Jesus. Amen? And that life just continues through the barrier of death into a wonderful future and eternity. Wow. Now, you're going to get a shock in heaven if you haven't witnessed and lived some of this now, because it will be foreign to you. The more you can experience it now, the more at home you'll be up there. Yeah? So let's hold on to what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's about to break into this church. I know it. We're getting opposition from the enemy. This is God's time for us to put these things into practice. John 17:3, he said, "Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent." That's the goal, to know him in such a relationship that we can't become more like him. Now, we won't ever be perfect as humans, but we can reflect some of the life of Jesus into this old fallen world with no hope, because we've got a good news message. Amen. Okay, now you can't do any of this unless you receive the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And the door, the key, the impetus to live this life is to be filled with the Spirit. I can't live a Christian life in my own strength. It's impossible. You ever tried it? It's hopeless. You fail all the time. You keep sinning. You keep mucking up. You keep making mistakes. You keep making bad decisions. The Holy Spirit was sent to empower you, to rest upon you, to live inside you, to teach you about Jesus, his ways, and all that he has for you. Wow. I'd sign up for that any day. Jesus died that the people of God could receive the Holy Spirit and become a charismatic community, living in intimacy with the Father. What does charismatic mean? It means those who are endowed with God's grace. The word charismatic is charis, which means grace in the Greek. So we're children of grace. Amen. If you're charismatic, all it means is that you've been endowed with God's grace. I have more of that as well, please, Paul. I need it. The gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, the miracles and the healings and the speaking in tongues and the prophecy, all of that are called gracelets of the Holy Spirit. a bit like a bracelet you put on. They're available to you. God comes upon us and roots us in his grace. Hallelujah. See, grace is the key. We don't go around judging people, thinking we're better than they are, because we're filled with grace. Grace is, there but for your mercy, Lord, I'm doomed. All I have is yours. It's because of you. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. And you've all, if you're born again tonight, got undeserved favor. The thing is, in the Old Testament, he just gave these things to the prophets. But now we can all receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 2:17, then it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Are you flesh? Yeah? Then you can receive the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us and he comes upon us. He writes his law in our hearts and gives the power to live out his will. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. What a promise. Hallelujah. Out of relationship with him, we live empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver people from damnation, death, disease, and those who are troubled by demons. We've got the power to do that, just as Jesus did. Nothing special. It's just you receive his power. And you do it. Out of relationship with him, we live empowered by the Spirit. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and give it to you. What a promise. If you've got that intimate relationship with God, the Holy Spirit takes what God is saying and tells you. Because God knows already what you're thinking. But where we lack is so many of us don't hear God clearly. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If you get close to him, you will hear him. And he will tell you what the Father's doing. He will tell you what's going to happen. You'll become prophetic like Brian. Not pathetic, prophetic. Okay? Prophet. This is how the Trinity works. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. We pray to Jesus, who is sat at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes and enables us because Jesus, the Son, has given us his authority. And this in turn brings glory to the Father and the Son. They all work together with us if we're in that kind of relationship with him. Now you speak to most Christians and all of this would be like Chinese. They just don't get it. But God's given us a bit more revelation. Amen? You've only got to read the word. It's all there. And we're so privileged to be able to move in it. John 14, verse 14, another one of these promises. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will in line with his will. But intimacy and obedience also brings revelation and love. It brings us into that relationship with him. John 14. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should stay, remain. That whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. These things I command, that you have love one for one another. To the person who loves him, he will reveal himself. To the person who obeys him, he will reveal himself. Isn't that wonderful? He's chosen you for that relationship. When you were born again, you didn't say, well, you know, you can relax now. Just go to church every week, read your Bible occasionally, say the occasional prayer, and you'll be all right. No. He's got a purpose and a destiny. He's got something for you to do. He's got people that you need to help and set free. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, it includes the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit. And therefore the revelation of the Father and the visitation and habitation of his presence is available to us through the Holy Spirit. That's why we can feel Father's presence when we worship. So the Holy Spirit brings his presence. We're not saved by obedience, but we can enjoy intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit if we do what he says. When God tells or reveals something to us, we need to accept it and be obedient to it. There's a relationship between intimacy and fruitfulness and healing. Amen. Close to God, you receive all he has for you. You receive his revelation. Then you can, out of that intimacy, you can move in the supernatural life. Simple, as that advert says. What's that? That funny thing. Ooh, yeah, meerkat. Simples. It's not simples, but you get what it says. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If there's no fruit in your life, it's because you haven't got that relationship. He's the vine. We're the branches. If you're connected closely, that naturally bears fruit. Amen. If you plant an apple tree, it doesn't kind of get in the ground and struggle to bear fruit, because the roots bring the nourishment and all that it needs, fruit happens naturally. Same with us. The closer you get to God, the more you will see. Wow. I wish I'd learned this 50 years ago. I might have been a better person. But I know it now. Hallelujah. So whatever time I've got left, I'm going to go for it. We show we are disciples of Jesus if we love one another and when we bear fruit for the kingdom. Do you want to know whether you're in the kingdom and whether you're a disciple and not just a Christian? It's if you love one another and you bear the fruit. Simples. Where's the love? Where's the fruit? I can see it all over this room. So I'm in a good place. Because I know some of you love God. And some of you are bearing fruit. And more of you will bear fruit. These are not fruits of being. See, the fruits of being are the character fruits in Galatians 5. Faithfulness, goodness, joy, love, self-control. They just happen because you're connected to the vine. But there are fruits of doing. As you begin to know God intimately, you get led by the Spirit into impossible situations, and then those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 explode and things begin to happen. Amen. I was in a railway station once, and there was this Hindu priest, and he had a basket, and usually in the basket there are cobras, and basket was on seats, so I just took it and put it on the floor because I was tired, wanted to sit down, and he went bananas, absolutely bananas, started ranting and raving. It wasn't just because I put the thing down. He sensed something in me was different. And he started going on. I got interpretation. They were telling me he's angry because you've moved his God and it's disrespectful. And I just said to him, look, I feel sorry for you. Because if you can fit your God into that basket, he's not a very big God, is he? My God is in the whole universe. And we were able to talk. And by the end of it, he was almost there. So you will get these encounters out of your intimacy with God. You'll meet strange people. You'll meet people who need to be prayed for healing. I walked, several times I've walked into situations and people have gone bananas. Started shouting and screaming and rolling on the floor. I thought, what's that all about? There is the demonic. And when the Spirit of God is manifest, so is the demonic. But don't be afraid of that, because you've got the power. Amen. I was in Nepal once, and this guy was levitating up as high as this ceiling. He was laying on the floor and he was going up and down like a lift. Totally demonized. And I just started to pray in tongues. And he was at the highest point and he just, whoomp, fell down. Couldn't do it anymore. Couldn't do it anymore. I quickly walked by because the crowd was getting a bit angry. But just a demonstration, see? No need to fear. God is with you. God is with you. The fruits of the Spirit are the character traits of Jesus being manifest in our lives. The fruit of John 15 are the fruits that we are empowered with to do his work because of our intimacy with him. We need both kinds of fruit to bring God the glory. We need to be like Jesus in character, but we also need to have the power of Jesus so that our message comes with demonstration of power. See, Paul said that my message is not just preaching. My message comes with the ability to do stuff. And the same is true of you. We need both kinds of fruit to bring God the glory. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you will desire to reflect him in every way possible, in both nature and demonstration. Now, we haven't got time tonight to go into the word bit. We'll do that next time. I hope that's helped. Amen. Sometimes people can't quite grasp how they get into the supernatural. The thing is, it's natural. If you're in relationship with him, you don't have to strive. It's there. Holy Spirit's in there. He can do whatever he wants. Hallelujah.